The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease. Thomas Edison. The Emotion Code, Chapter 2, The Secret World of Trapped Emotions. By now, you're probably wondering whether you have any trapped emotions yourself and what they might be. Here is a list of circumstances that often result in trapped emotions. Loss of a loved one, divorce or relationship problems, financial hardship, home or work stress, miscarriage or abortion, physical trauma, physical or emotional combat, physical, mental, verbal, or sexual abuse, negative self-talk, negative beliefs about yourself or others, long-term stress, rejection, physical illness, feelings of inferiority, internalization of feelings, neglect or abandonment. This list is by no means all-inclusive. The only way to know whether you have trapped emotions is to ask the subconscious mind. This can be done quite easily, but first, a little explanation is in order. Conscious versus subconscious. First, let's discuss the difference between the conscious and the subconscious mind. Here is a simple way to look at it. It has been said many times that we humans use only about 10% of our brain. What is really meant by this is that the conscious mind needs about 10% of our brain's resources. In other words, thinking, moving about, making choices, planning, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling are all conscious activities and take up 10% of the processing power of our brain. If this is true, what is the other 90% of the brain doing? If the conscious mind takes up 10% of your brain, we can refer to the other 90% as the subconscious mind. This silent and unconscious majority of the brain is constantly busy, storing information and keeping your body systems running efficiently. It is also important to understand that the subconscious mind exerts an unseen yet profound influence over the things we do and how we behave and feel. Most people give little thought to their subconscious minds, but imagine for a moment having to take over the functions that your subconscious mind performs. Imagine the difficulty of instructing your digestive system how to digest your lunch, or telling your cells how to create enzymes and proteins. Imagine if you had to worry about keeping your heart beating, or keeping air moving in and out of your lungs every moment of every day. And you think you have a full schedule now. Like a computer, your subconscious mind is capable of storing vast amounts of information. Brain surgery is often done while the patient is conscious. The brain has no pain-sensing nerves, and surgeons take advantage of this fact to get feedback from their patients while their brains are being delicately probed during surgery. Dr. Wilder Penfield discovered that under certain circumstances, people who are undergoing brain surgery will have memories returned to them when a certain area of the brain is stimulated. For example, the surgeon might touch an area of the brain with his electrode, and the alert patient suddenly will remember a scene, a smell, or a sound from a particular moment in their life. Often, these flashes of memory are about events or scenes that would be unremembered under normal circumstances. If the same area of the brain is touched again with an electrode in the same precise spot, the same memory will be re-experienced. If you are like me, sometimes it seems difficult to remember what happened yesterday. I believe, however, that your subconscious mind is an amazing recording device. I believe that everything you've ever done in your entire life has been logged in your subconscious mind. Every face you've ever seen in a crowd, every smell, every voice, every song, every taste, every touch, and every sensation you have ever experienced has been recorded by your subconscious. Every virus, bacteria, or fungus that has ever invaded your body, all your injuries, all your thoughts and feelings, and the entire history of every cell in your body has all been archived. Your subconscious is also aware of any trapped emotions that your body may be harboring, and it also knows exactly what effect these trapped emotions are having on your physical, emotional, and mental well-being. All of this and more is tucked away in the subconscious mind. The computer mind. Your subconscious is also aware of exactly what your body needs in order to get well. But how can you get to this information? I began asking myself that same question when I was in chiropractic school. I learned that the brain is essentially a computer, the most powerful computer in the known universe. This made me wonder if healers would ever be able to tap into the immense power of the brain to find critical information about what was wrong with their patients. During my years of practice, I learned that it is actually possible to retrieve information from the subconscious using a form of kinesiology or muscle testing. First developed by Dr. George Goodhart in the 1960s as a way to correct structural imbalance in the skeleton, muscle testing is now widely accepted. While many physicians worldwide use muscle testing procedures to correct spinal misalignments and other imbalances, the fact that muscle testing can be used to get information directly from the subconscious mind is less recognized. Talking to the body. The ability to open a line of communication with a patient's subconscious mind through muscle testing became a powerful tool for me. It enabled me to know what a patient needed in order to get well as quickly as possible. I came to trust the body's wisdom implicitly and to have great faith in the body's innate ability to communicate that wisdom to me through muscle testing. Many years of teaching seminars to both laypeople and doctors taught me that anyone can do it. Anyone can learn to get answers from the body, and anyone can take the necessary steps to help the body heal. You don't have to be a doctor. You just have to be willing to learn. I have been driven for many years to share this marvelous knowledge with the world. It took much prayer and effort to refine and simplify the emotion code, and now it is simple enough that anyone can learn it. You will soon have all the knowledge you need to begin using this method on yourself to remove trapped emotional energies from your body. Negative versus positive stimuli. Before I can teach you how to get information from your subconscious mind, you must understand one basic principle. This is that all organisms, no matter how primitive, will respond to positive or negative stimuli. For example, plants grow towards sunlight and away from darkness. An amoeba in an aquarium will move towards light and away from darkness. If a drop of poison is placed into that same aquarium, the amoeba will move away from that poison and head toward cleaner water. On a subconscious level, the human body is no different. Your body will normally be drawn toward positive things or thoughts and repelled by negative things or ideas. In fact, this has been going on all your life without your even being aware of it. If you will allow yourself to quiet your conscious mind and tune into your body, you will learn that your subconscious is quite able to communicate with you. Are you ready to let your subconscious mind speak to you? The Sway Test. The simplest method I know of to get answers from your subconscious mind is called the Sway Test. You will learn other methods of muscle testing later on in this book, but the Sway Test is extremely simple to learn and does not require the assistance of anyone else, and so can be used when you are alone. To try the Sway Test, assume a standing position and make sure you are comfortable. The room should be quiet and free of distractions, including music and television. It will be easiest for you to learn if you are alone or with someone who is learning along with you. Here's what to do. Stand with your feet shoulder-width apart so that you are comfortably balanced. Stand still with your hands by your sides. Let go of all your worries and relax your body completely. Close your eyes if you are comfortable doing so. Within a few seconds, you will notice that it is actually impossible to stand perfectly still. Your body will continually shift its position very slightly in different directions as your muscles work to maintain your standing posture. You will notice that these movements are very slight and are not under your conscious control. When you make a positive, true, or congruent statement, your body should begin to sway noticeably forward, usually within less than 10 seconds. When you make an incongruent or untrue statement, your body should sway backwards within the same time frame. I believe this phenomenon occurs because of how you are used to perceiving the world around you. In spite of the fact that your environment surrounds you completely at all times, on all sides, you are used to only dealing with what is directly in front of you at any given time. When you drive a car, when you walk, when you eat, when you work at your desk, you are constantly dealing with the world in front of you, not the world behind you or to the sides of you. When you make any kind of a statement, Your body perceives that thought as if it were like anything else it has to deal with, like a file on your desk or food on your plate. Essentially, you can think of the statement you make as being right in front of you, ready to be dealt with and processed. When you are ready, simply state the words, unconditional love. Keep this phrase in your mind and try to feel the feelings that are connected with this phrase. In a few moments, you should notice your body sway forward. Like a plant growing toward the light, your body will gently sway toward the positive energy of that thought. The movement of your body toward this thought may be more sudden than gradual in some cases, and it may surprise you. Now clear your mind and say the word hatred. Try to feel the feelings that are connected with this thought. Just as any organism will automatically move away from a poisonous or harmful substance, your body should move away from the thought of hatred. You should notice that your body, within 10 seconds or so, will begin to sway backward. It is very important that you don't try to force your body to sway either forward or backward. Simply allow your body to sway on its own. You are giving your subconscious mind its first opportunity to speak to you in this very direct way, and it must be done gently for the best result. Don't force it. It will become easier with practice. Now try making a statement that you know to be true. State your name out loud, saying, "My name is my name." If your name is Alex, for example, you would say, "My name is Alex." Your subconscious mind knows what is congruent or true. When you make a true statement, you'll feel your body begin to gently sway forward because your body is drawn towards positivity, congruency, and truth. Now you can try an untrue or incongruent statement. If your name is Alex, for example, you might say, "My name is Chris," or "My name is Kim." As long as you choose a name that is not your own, your subconscious mind will know that this statement is incongruent or untrue. Once you have made this statement, if you keep your mind clear of other thoughts, you should feel your body begin to sway backwards within a few seconds. This is because your body is not only repelled by negative thoughts such as hatred, but incongruence and falsity are also repulsive to the mind and body. Keep your mind clear. Make sure you keep your mind clear of other thoughts after making your statement. If your thoughts are wandering, it will be difficult for your subconscious mind to determine exactly what it is you are after. What if, for example, you make a positive or true statement, but then immediately begin thinking about the argument you had with your spouse last night? You will probably sway backwards because the memory of that event is negative, and your body will naturally want to move away from it. It is important to have patience with yourself. When you are first learning this method, it may take a little longer than expected for your body to sway. Don't get discouraged if this happens. Your body's response time will shorten significantly the more you practice. The most challenging aspect of this form of testing for many people is that it requires them to give up control for a few moments and allow their body to do what it wants to do. For some, giving up control is not easy. Nevertheless, this is a simple skill to learn, and it shouldn't take you very long to become proficient. The main thing is to stay focused on whatever statement or thought you are putting out. Just keep your mind calm and allow your subconscious to communicate with you through the mechanism of your physical body. If for any reason you are not physically able to perform this test, don't worry. There are several other options that I will outline for you in Chapter 5. Do you have a trapped emotion? As soon as you think you have the hang of it, you are ready to put the sway test to good use. Make this statement, "I have a trapped emotion." Your body will most likely sway forward, giving you an affirmative answer that you have at least one trapped emotion. If your body sways backward, don't assume that you are free of trapped emotions just yet. This may mean that your trapped emotions are buried a bit deeper and might take a little more effort to uncover. But it's not a problem. I will discuss how to find and release this type of trapped emotion later on. What trapped emotions are made of? Everything in the universe is made of energy, whether that energy manifests in physical form or remains invisible. It is the particular arrangement of these energies and their specific rates of vibration that determine how they will appear to us. At the most basic level, everything that exists is made of the same stuff, energy. Not only are you made of energy, but other forms of energy are passing through your body at this very moment. Energy that we cannot see is all around us in the form of radio waves, X-rays, infrared, thought waves, and emotions. We are like fish swimming in a sea of energy. Energy is the material from which all things are made. It is in all things and through all things and fills the inner spaces of the universe. We can feel energy when it is in the form of emotions, and if negative emotional energies become trapped within us, they may adversely affect us. Trapped emotions are made of energy, just as energy makes up our bodies and everything else in the universe. Where our emotions come from. Thousands of years ago, ancient physicians were astute observers of the human body. They found that people whose lives were dominated by a certain emotion would have corresponding physical ailments. For example, people whose lives were ruled by anger seemed to suffer from liver and gallbladder trouble. People who spent their lives feeling grief would often suffer from lung or colon trouble. Fearful people seemed to have kidney and bladder problems. Eventually, a correlation was made between the emotions we experience and the various organs of the body. It was believed that the organs themselves actually produced the emotions that people felt. In other words, if you are feeling the emotion of fear, your kidneys or bladder are creating that particular energy or vibration. If you are feeling grief, it is being produced by your lungs or your colon, and so on. Of course, we now know that certain areas of the brain are activated when we feel certain emotions. We also know that there is a biochemical component to the emotions that we feel. Dr. Candace Pert, in her book Molecules of Emotion, clearly explains this biochemical side of our nature, which is perfectly valid. There is an energetic side to our nature as well, and there is an energetic component to our emotions that is only now beginning to be explored and correlated by modern science. After much experience gained from clinical practice, I am convinced that the organs in the body really do produce the emotions we experience. The ancient physicians were right. If you're feeling an emotion of anger, it's not coming entirely from your brain. It's actually emanating from your liver or gallbladder. If you're feeling the emotion of betrayal, the emotion is emanating from your heart or your small intestine. Remember that we used to think the body and the mind were separate and distinct, but their dividing line is now blurred to the point where we don't know where the influence of one begins and the other ends. Your entire body is intelligent, not just your brain. Your organs are separate intelligences within your body that perform certain functions and produce specific emotions or feelings. People are usually surprised to learn that the various organs in our bodies produce the emotions that we feel. Yet there are correlations to this principle in life that are quite distinct, although they escape the attention of most physicians. Did trapped emotions kill Dana Reeve? We all remember the tragic injury that rendered actor Christopher Reeve a quadriplegic. We were touched by the unfailing devotion of his wife Dana and were shocked and saddened when she died. It was only 10 months after her husband's death that she announced to the world that she had lung cancer, and 7 months later she died at age 44. Dana Reeve was a non-smoker who died of lung cancer, and although conventional wisdom holds that her death was due to secondhand smoke, I believe otherwise. The lungs produce the emotion we call grief, and an overabundance of grief will certainly lead to the creation of trapped emotions, often affecting the parent organ. Dana certainly had reasons to grieve, and I believe that trapped emotions, grief among others, were at least partly responsible for her death and perhaps entirely responsible. The angry drunk. Another example can be found in the way that alcohol affects people. We all know that people who become alcoholics often die of liver disease. But we also know that many people who drink can become quite angry and violent when under the influence. Alcohol is broken down and processed by the liver, and too much alcohol overstimulates the liver. When you overstimulate or overload an organ, it will produce more of the emotion that it is designed to produce. The liver produces feelings of anger. This is the mechanism that is often at work when drinking results in violence. If you have an organ that is diseased, overstimulated, or imbalanced in some way, the emotions related to that organ will often be heightened. Trapped emotions are always found to have emanated from a particular organ, no matter where that trapped emotion lodges in the body. For example, a trapped emotion of anger may have originally emanated from your liver, but it may become lodged literally anywhere in your body. Correlations between the organs and our emotions are both fascinating and important to understanding how our bodies really work. It all goes back to the ancient art of energy healing. Energy medicine. Energy healing is one of the oldest practices known in the world today. Since 4000 BC, healers have understood that our health greatly depends on the quality of energy that flows through and makes up our bodies. In Chinese medicine, that energy is called qi or qi. In ancient Indian or Ayurvedic medicine, this energy is called prana. Imbalances of this part of our existence may deeply affect our physical and mental health. We can compare this energy to electricity. We can't see electricity, but we can feel it. Electricity is colorless and odorless. It's invisible, yet it certainly is real. If you've ever stuck your finger in a light socket or been shocked getting the toast out of a toaster, then you'll know what I mean. You may not be able to see it, but it's definitely there. As human beings, we are used to perceiving things in a way that conforms to our belief systems. We form our beliefs about the physical world at an early age. We learn that if we fall off the monkey bars at school, we will meet the ground with a painful thud. Yet we could never imagine that both the ground and the monkey bars, as solid as they seem to us, are actually made of vibrating energies. We may like to think that the world around us is exactly as we are used to seeing it, but Einstein, Tesla, and others have shown us that the universe is really much more complex and wonderful than we ever could possibly have imagined. The quantum world. You must remember that old saying, "I know it like the back of my hand." But how well do you really know the back of your hand? Take a look at it. Your eyes see the surface of your skin with its wrinkles, fingernails, and little hairs. You know exactly how the back of your hand looks from that perspective. But if you magnify your hand under a microscope, you won't see the same skin and creases you've become so familiar with. Instead, you might think you were looking at the surface of a strange planet, covered with hills and valleys. Turn up the power on your microscope, magnifying your skin 20,000 times, and you'll see a field of swarming cells. Magnify it a lot more, and you'll see molecules. Magnify those molecules, and you'll see the atoms that make up those molecules. Magnify those atoms, and you'll see the subatomic energy clouds that make up those atoms, the electrons, the protons, the neutrons, and other subatomic particles. It's still the back of your hand, but it looks nothing like the hand you know. If you glance at it now, your hand looks solid. Slap it down on the table, and it makes a nice substantial thud. Your hand may seem solid, but there's actually a lot of empty space there. At the subatomic level, there are vast distances between each spinning electron. Atoms are 99.99999999% empty space. Your hand is 99.999999% empty space. If you could remove all the empty space from the atoms in your hand, it would become so small you would need a microscope to see it. It would virtually disappear, although it would still weigh the same and contain the same number of atoms. It might take a moment to comprehend this idea. Your hand seems solid, but it is made of dynamic energy in constant vibration. In fact, physicists now understand that the so-called subatomic particles which make up the atom are not really particles at all. They measure the contents of the atom in energy units instead, because it's so much more accurate. Thoughts are energy. Like everything else in the universe, the thoughts that you create are made of energy. Thought energy has no boundary. Your thoughts are not confined to a certain volume and location like your physical body. While we like to think that all of our unspoken thoughts are private and that they are confined to our own heads, it's not true. Each of us is like a radio station, constantly broadcasting the energy of our thoughts, which emanate from us and fill the immensity of space, touching all those around us for good or ill. This doesn't mean that we can read other people's minds, But the energy of other people's thoughts are detected to some degree on a subconscious level. Try staring intently at the back of someone's head in a crowd, and inevitably they will turn and look right at you before long. Lots of us have had this experience, and if you haven't, try it. It works every time. We are all connected. The reality is, the entire human family is connected energetically. When people are suffering and dying on the other side of the earth, we feel their distant cries and anguish on a subconscious level, and we are darkened by it. When something tragic happens in the world, the whole world feels it subconsciously and is affected by it. On the other hand, when wonderful things happen in the world, we are all brightened together. The connectedness that we have will often manifest as subtle thoughts that float up from the subconscious level to our conscious minds. This energy connection seems strongest between a mother and her children. Mothers often seem to be able to sense when one of their children is in trouble. We call this mother's intuition, and my own mother was an expert at it. Our connection to our own mothers is perhaps strongest because of the spiritual umbilical that binds us to them. The most powerful example of this energetic connection occurred to one of my patients a number of years ago. She was sitting at home one night watching television with her husband. Suddenly, she began experiencing severe hammering pains throughout her body, which inexplicably moved from one area to another. The violence of this sudden attack was terrifying, and when it was over, she was greatly relieved but exhausted and frightened. She had never experienced anything like this before and had no idea what had suddenly gone wrong in her body. Her attempts to explain this bizarre and excruciating attack baffled everyone, including her doctors. 3 days later, she got a phone call from her son, who was working in the Philippines. He called her from his hospital bed and told her that he had been severely beaten by the local police a few days before. When they compared the time of his beating to the time of her experience, they were one and the same. Somehow she was connected enough to her son to literally feel his pain. Talk about mother's intuition. Thoughts are powerful. Your thoughts are immensely powerful. Whenever you say what you're thinking or write something down, you're using the energy of your thoughts to affect the world around you. It is through thought, belief, and intention that all things happen. Reputable laboratory experiments have repeatedly shown that thoughts can directly influence the rate of growth in plants, fungi, and bacteria. William Tiller, a physicist at Stanford University, has shown that thoughts can affect electronic instruments. Studies have proven that when the energy of thought is directed intentionally, it can impact someone else, regardless of whether they are nearby or all the way around the world. Depending on whether the person focusing the thought uses calming or activating imagery, for instance, they can create a greater sense of relaxation or anxiety in the targeted person. The effect is so distinctive that it can be measured in a laboratory by galvanic skin response, a highly sensitive method of measuring electrical changes in the skin. Imagine how your own thoughts affect you. Everyone has some kind of internal conversation at times. What do you say to yourself? Many people criticize themselves far more often than they praise themselves. Negative self-talk may be hurting you more than you realize. What about other people around you? Do you ever wonder if others can sense how you feel about them? Other people's subconscious minds are continually detecting the vibrations of your thoughts. Have you ever had a moment with a friend where he or she blurted out just what you were thinking? Have you ever instinctively known who was about to call you before the phone even rang? These are not coincidences. They are evidences of the power of thought energy. Finding trapped emotions using the emotion code is along the same lines as detecting the vibration of another person's thoughts or feelings. The difference is that you can ask the body and actually get definitive answers instead of guessing. Then you can release the trapped emotions for good and know with certainty that they are permanently gone. Serendipity versus precision. Any alternative healthcare practitioner can tell you that almost everyone carries around old emotional energies from their past. Our physical bodies hold on to trapped emotions, and doctors and body workers are aware of this because often a simple touch can bring out a flood of emotions and memories in a patient. At one time or another, nearly every practitioner I know, from chiropractors to energy workers to massage therapists, has had the experience of provoking an unexpected emotional release in a patient as the body let go of the energy it had been holding on to. Releasing those trapped emotions can result in profound and immediate healing. While any emotional release that occurs in this serendipitous way is welcome, this is usually not the intention of the therapist, and any emotional release that occurs is only accidental. The emotion code approach, however, is much more deliberate. I sometimes think of it as emotional surgery, because we are searching out the trapped emotions with a clear intention of removing them. Nothing is left to chance. Trapped emotions are potentially so destructive that you need to find them and get them out of your body, and then confirm that they have been released. The emotion code helps you do exactly that in a precise and simple way. Trapped emotions and children. I have twin boys who are, at the time of this writing, 18 years old. One of my early experiences with trapped emotions happened with my son Rhett when he was a toddler. Rhett and Drew are fraternal twins and are about as different as two boys can be. Drew was always very affectionate with both my wife and me. Rhett was very affectionate with my wife Jean, but developed some sort of hang-up about me around age 3. When I would try to hug him or be close to him or snuggle with him, he would push me away and say, "Bad doctor, away!" At first we thought he was just passing through some kind of stage. We assumed that he would grow out of it, but his negative feelings toward me persisted for over a year. It was a source of heartache and frustration to me. I didn't understand why my little boy felt this way about me. One evening, Jean and I were sitting and talking together. Rhett was sitting on Jean's lap. I opened my arms to give him a hug. He gave me the same reaction as before, pushing me away and saying, "Bad doctor, away!" This time I really felt the hurt. I could feel the heartache welling up within my chest, and I felt like I was going to cry. My wife said, "You know, maybe he has a trapped emotion." Up until this point, we had only treated adults for trapped emotions. We decided to check him and see. Using the emotion code, we found that he did have a trapped emotion. The emotion was grief. But it wasn't his grief about me, it was actually my grief about him. In other words, at some point, he perceived that I had grief about him. He felt that grief strongly enough that it created a trapped emotion in his body. Testing showed that this emotion became trapped when my oldest daughter and I had an argument that Rhett was witness to. Even though I was not grieved about him, he perceived the grief I was experiencing about her and subconsciously applied it to himself. We released the trapped grief, and to my amazement, he walked right over to me and put his arms around me. As I cried and held my little boy, I was astonished and excited at the same time. If my son could be changed so instantaneously by simply removing a trapped emotion, then how many other children could be helped? The pilot's daughter. The next day in my clinic, I was talking with a patient about what had happened with Rhett. She said, "You know, I think my little girl might have a trapped emotion. My husband is an airline pilot. Every week he's gone for several days in a row, and when he comes back, our 6-year-old daughter will run and hide from him. She just won't have anything to do with him when he comes home from his trips, and it breaks his heart." She brought her daughter into the office the following day. I found that she did have a trapped emotion about her father. In this case, the trapped emotion was sorrow. It was her own sorrow about her father leaving and being gone for long periods of time. At some point, this sorrow was so strong that it imbalanced her body and the emotion became trapped. This emotional energy was exerting a very strong subconscious effect and was influencing her behavior towards him. We released the emotion and they went home. The following week, the mother returned to the office and said, "Dr. Nelson, your emotional treatment really works. My husband was gone when I came in and had my daughter treated. A few days ago, my husband came home from overseas, and when he opened the door, our little girl ran and jumped into his arms. She has never done that, ever. He is thrilled. Thank you so much." Drew and his traumatic delivery. By the time our twin boys were 4 years old, Rhett was very articulate and talkative. Drew was just the opposite, so much so that my wife and I began to grow concerned. At 4 years old, Drew still wasn't speaking in sentences. He rarely said a word, and when he started to speak, he'd often put his hand over his mouth as though he were afraid to say anything. He seemed fearful in general. When we went to the neighborhood pool, Rhett jumped right in, but Drew stood at the edge, looking anxious. He was very cautious about trying new things. He was also claustrophobic. If he went outside to play and the door closed behind him, he would panic and scream. Psychological testing showed that Drew had a high IQ, but was not developing at the same pace as the norm for other kids his age. Hearing tests showed that his hearing was normal. There seemed to be no explanation for what was going on with Drew. After our experience with Rhett, we decided to see if Drew might have trapped emotions, not realizing that they were the actual cause of his troubles. As we tested him, we quickly found a number of trapped emotions that were the result of traumatic things that had happened on the day that he was born and shortly thereafter. Gene's labor and delivery had been very long, lasting 22 hours total. Rhett was born first. He looked beautiful and content and immediately went to sleep. Drew was born 14 minutes later and emerged blue and limp, looking really rough. A team of doctors circled around him immediately. They weren't sure he would make it. His situation was critical. He pulled through, but the next 10 days or so continued to be very traumatic. We had taken both of the boys home when they were a couple of days old, but Drew had to be readmitted to the hospital for testing to see what was wrong. He was unable to keep any breast milk down and was rapidly losing weight. We were told that he had picked up a life-threatening infection during the first few days. The doctors had to do a spinal tap on his tiny body and administer antibiotics intravenously to save his life. Against our wishes, Gene and I were ordered out of the room as this procedure was begun. We were unable to comfort him in any way and could only listen helplessly as Drew screamed in terror while they repeatedly tried to insert the needles into his tiny veins and into his spine. We didn't dwell on Drew's traumatic experiences ourselves, and we never discussed these events with him as a child. It was very upsetting for us to even think about it. 4 years later, as far as we knew, he had no memory of these events, but he did have a lot of fear about a lot of things. One by one, we found and released the trapped emotions that related to these traumatic events. We were amazed by what Drew had perceived as an infant and how deeply it had scarred him emotionally. He probably expected that coming into the world would be wonderful. Instead, he came into an incredibly painful situation that he could scarcely cope with. It was like being born into hell. As you might imagine, he had trapped emotions of fear, terror, and abandonment. Undoubtedly, these were the exact feelings he'd had during the emergency room procedures that we all found so difficult to endure. Drew had also developed a trapped emotion of panic while he was in the womb, waiting in line behind his reluctant brother, who was in no hurry to emerge from his dark and comfortable home. This trapped emotion of panic proved to be the reason behind his claustrophobia. In addition, he had a trapped emotion of anger that he had inherited from his grandfather. It was actually this inherited anger that was making him reluctant to talk. He was afraid that he would hurt someone with his words, which explained why he would always cover his mouth when he would speak. We released all of these trapped emotions and retired for the night. The next morning at breakfast, we couldn't believe the difference. Drew was like a little chatterbox. Suddenly, and for the first time in his life, he was speaking in complete sentences. Without the trapped emotions keeping him attached to the traumas of his past, he was able to let go of his fears. His claustrophobia vanished along with his fearful attitude. He was free to become bright, happy, and inquisitive. Trapped emotions are common. It isn't really possible to tell by looking at someone if they have trapped emotions, but nearly everyone does. During my years in practice, it was rare that I treated a patient who had no discernible trapped emotions. I remember one patient in particular who fell into this category. This man spent a lot of time in meditation and struck me as being a calm, kind, and unflappable sort of person who was very much in control of his emotions. Did I say in control of his emotions? We will talk more about that very subject in Chapter 10 in terms of avoiding trapped emotions in the future. The vast majority of us do have trapped emotions, simply because of what we have been through and who we are at this point in our journey. Often when someone has been through a traumatic or intensely emotional event, such as a car accident, an argument, or a divorce, they will have trapped emotional energy about it. However, not every emotional event will create a trapped emotion. The body is designed to deal with emotional energy in the normal course of events. So, when an emotion becomes trapped, it's partly because of extenuating circumstances, such as when we have lowered resistance or when we are overly tired or otherwise off balance. When our bodies are not at their best, we are more vulnerable to developing trapped emotions. The resonance of trapped emotions. Each trapped emotion resides in a specific location in the body, vibrating at its own particular frequency. Before long, that vibration will cause surrounding tissues to vibrate at that same frequency. We call this phenomenon resonance. In my seminars, I use tuning forks to demonstrate how powerfully our universe responds to resonance. One of my tuning forks vibrates at 512 Hz. The sound it makes is very high-pitched. The tines of the other tuning fork are a different size. That fork vibrates at 128 Hz and makes a much lower sound. If you were to place any number of different sized tuning forks in a room and strike one of them, all the other tuning forks of that particular frequency would start humming faintly. If you stop the sound coming from the tuning fork you struck, all the others will keep vibrating. It's not because of some natural affinity between tuning forks. This is just the way our universe works. If you strike a tuning fork and place it against a pane of glass, the glass will begin to vibrate at the same frequency. That's because the tuning fork forces the energies that make up the glass into motion, in sync with its own vibration. When you have a trapped emotion, it's a bit like having a tuning fork in your body that is continually vibrating at the specific frequency of a negative emotion. Unfortunately, this may bring more of this particular emotion into your life. Have you ever seen someone who's agitated infect a room full of people with that same emotion? Maybe you're calmly waiting in a doctor's office with several other people who are quietly reading magazines when an upset patient comes in. He paces around the room, picking up magazines, then putting them back down. He speaks to the receptionist in an irritated tone. His body language gives his mood away. But it's the invisible effect that's most powerful. That patient is sending a strong, agitated vibration out into the room. Some of the cells in your body and those of the receptionist and the other patients will literally start vibrating at that frequency. Before long, everyone's feeling a little agitated. It changes the mood of the room. People start feeling differently and reacting differently. The agitated patient has not only attracted more agitation into his own life, he's actually generated it in the people around him as well. Negative vibrations. If you have a trapped emotion, you will attract more of that emotion into your life. You will also tend to feel that emotion more readily and more often than you otherwise would. You can think of a trapped emotion as being like a ball of energy, because that is exactly what it is. They have a size and a shape, even though they are invisible and are made only of energy. They usually seem to vary in size from that of an orange to that of a melon. Trapped emotional energy will always lodge somewhere in the physical body, and the body tissues that lie within that sphere will tend to fall into resonance with the vibrational energy of the trapped emotion. In other words, those tissues will actually be experiencing that emotional vibration on a continual basis. Suppose you have a trapped emotion of anger. You've carried it around for years, not even knowing it was there. As a result, whenever you come into a situation where you could become angry, it's much more likely that you will become angry. Because, in a fascinating and literal way, part of you is already angry. If part of your body is already vibrating at the frequency of anger due to a trapped emotion, it is much easier for your entire being to fall into resonance with anger when something happens that could elicit an angry response from you. Sometimes people don't understand why they get ticked off so easily or why they can't shake certain emotions. It's often because the very emotion they are struggling with is trapped within them from a past experience they may scarcely remember. This is why, when trapped emotions are released, the effect is incomparable to any other form of therapy. Often the emotion and behavior that has been so difficult to shake is simply gone. It can seem almost too simple to believe, but once you experience it yourself, you will understand. Until you release your own trapped emotions, you will continue to labor under their weight. Lori and the cheerleader. I have seen this phenomenon on countless occasions, but one particular patient's experience will help to illustrate this. Lori had a trapped emotion of resentment. When I traced the original occurrence of this emotion back in time, I found that it had become trapped in high school, and that it was actually her resentment for another female. At this point, Lori said, "Well, of course, I know exactly what this is about." She explained that there was a particular girl on the cheerleading squad that she just could not stand. For whatever reasons, she felt a lot of resentment for this girl during their high school years. The resentment never really went away, since it had become trapped in Lori's body. Lori said, "You know, I still have so much resentment for her. It's kind of weird, I guess. I'm 43 years old now. High school was a long time ago. You'd think I would have forgotten all about her, but it's like I can't let go of it. I haven't even seen her since high school. But whenever I think of her, I can just feel this resentment welling up inside of me, and I feel all that resentment for her all over again." I explained to Lori how a trapped emotion can make it much harder for us to let go of things we would rather forget. Using a magnet, we released the trapped emotion in a few seconds, and she left the office. I saw Lori again a few days later, and she exclaimed, "Dr. Nelson, it worked. Last night I was talking with an old girlfriend, and that girl's name came up. For the first time since high school, I felt nothing. Normally, I would have felt that resentment for her, but I felt nothing. That is so great. Thanks." Kirk's lifelong anger problem. Kirk was an angry man. He came to me when he was in his late 70s for treatment of his back pain. It quickly became obvious that there was something else bothering him. He snapped at my office staff and tended to be curt with me as well. He was dismissive with his wife, who was nothing but supportive and kind to him. At first, I attributed his behavior to the fact that he was in pain. As his back began to improve, however, his behavior did not. I decided to check him for trapped emotions and found anger, bitterness, anxiety, resentment, frustration, and fear, many of which dated back to childhood. The end result of releasing these emotions was that Kirk became a changed man. He is now a sweet and doting husband, more concerned about his wife than his own aches and pains. He used to complain constantly about everything, and now he turns his interest to others, usually has a smile on his face, and complains very little. The transformation has been remarkable to everyone that knows him. If only his trapped emotions could have been released early in his life, he might have had a different kind of life. Kirk was always free to choose his emotional state, but his trapped emotions made it easier for him to fall into resonance with them than to go against the current. Parts of his body were angry, bitter, anxious, resentful, frustrated, and fearful. That's what he was up against every waking moment of his life until we released those energies. The effect of an imbalance. It all comes back to the quantum nature of the body itself. When we get up every morning, we expect to see our bodies looking the same they did yesterday and the day before. They seem solid and predictable enough. We never glance in the mirror while we're trying to get dressed, only to see swirling clouds of energy where our arms and legs used to be. But that's exactly what we are. No matter how it may seem to you, your body is actually a collection of energies flying in close formation. When you introduce the negative vibration of a trapped emotion into that formation, you alter the normal vibrational rate of the whole. You won't necessarily feel it, and you definitely can't tell the difference by looking, but there are other ways to tell. Remember the tuning fork effect. When your body is hosting a trapped emotion, it will attract other emotions that vibrate at the same frequency. If the emotion is fear, for instance, you will become more easily frightened. The longer that energy resides inside your body, the more you'll get used to feeling it. Over time, you'll start thinking you're just a fearful person because you seem to be afraid so much of the time. In reality, because part of your body actually exists within this particular trapped emotional energy or literal ball of fear, you are set up for failure. Part of your body is already feeling that emotion on a continual basis, so you will much more readily fall into a state of fear when a fearful situation presents itself. In other words, since part of your body is already resonating at the frequency of fear, it's a small step for your entire body to fall into resonance. Where trapped emotions lodge. People often ask me why an emotion gets trapped in one area of the body and not another. I often find that trapped emotions lodge in an area that's vulnerable because of a genetic susceptibility, an injury, or a nutritional deficiency that weakens or imbalances the energy of the body in that area. Sometimes there's a metaphor at work as well. This makes sense when you realize that our subconscious minds govern our bodies and our dreams. Symbols and metaphors are the language of the subconscious mind, so it's very natural for trapped emotions to lodge in an area that has symbolic significance. For example, let's say you're experiencing grief for a friend who has had a miscarriage. Instead of experiencing the emotion and leaving it behind, the emotion becomes trapped. It wouldn't be surprising for that trapped emotion to lodge in your womb or breast, the nourishing organs of creation. Or suppose you're experiencing one of those difficult periods in life where a series of things seem to go wrong. You feel frustrated and overwhelmed, as if you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. In that case, a trapped emotion may lodge in one of your shoulders. The reality is that any emotion can get stuck anywhere in the body. If you don't notice the imbalance, it can go on for years. Eventually, it may cause real problems with your health, both mental and physical. The dual nature of trapped emotions. Trapped emotions affect you in two distinct ways, mentally and physically. Let's talk about how they affect you mentally first. They will cause you to feel an exaggerated emotional response. Let's first examine some real-life situations where trapped emotions were exerting an obvious mental effect. Marie and her trauma. One of the most dramatic examples of this occurred with Marie, a beautiful and kind-hearted patient in her 50s. A year before she came to me, her only son had been brutally murdered. As you might imagine, the death of her son was a horrible blow to Marie. To make matters worse, the trial of her son's murderer kept getting delayed in the courts, so she couldn't put it behind her. She was having a difficult time dealing with life when she first came to see me. In the year since her son's murder, she'd been completely caught up in her grief and loss. When we tested her for trapped emotions, we found one after another related to her son and his death. We released them. After that, Marie was free. She went back to being the well-balanced person she always was. Even though she misses her son and will always feel his absence, she's one of the happiest, most well-balanced people I know. Her trapped emotions were throwing her off balance by sustaining a negative vibration. Once we eliminated them, she was able to deal with her loss in a healthier way. Sarah and the JFK assassination. I will never forget Sarah, a 71-year-old woman who came to me for treatment. I began to ask her subconscious mind through muscle testing what she needed. We found that she had a trapped emotion of sadness. While your conscious mind may not remember things very well, your subconscious mind remembers everything that has ever happened to you. Of course, it also knows about each trapped emotion in detail. It knows when the trapped emotion occurred, what the precise emotion was, who was involved, and more. As I questioned Sarah's subconscious mind about this trapped emotion, I tried to determine when it had occurred. It turned out that the emotion of sadness had become trapped in Sarah's body in 1963. On a hunch, I asked, "Is this sadness about the assassination of John F. Kennedy?" The answer her body gave through muscle testing was yes. The moment we arrived at this, she burst into tears. As her tears flowed, she said, "Oh yes, that affected me so deeply. And then when President Kennedy's son, John Jr., died in that plane crash a few years ago, it brought it all back to me. I couldn't do anything but cry for days." If you're old enough to remember that day in November, 1963, you'll recall how shocking and sad it was. On that day, Sarah's whole being was filled with sadness. The emotion was overwhelming. It was too intense to be processed by her physical body, and as a result, it became trapped. Trapped emotions affect us emotionally. Trapped emotions generate a specific energetic vibration. They're also associated in our minds with specific kinds of events. In Sarah's case, the emotion of sadness, resonating at its own particular frequency, was specifically connected in her mind-body to the sudden death of a Kennedy. When John Kennedy Jr. was tragically killed, her natural sadness for that event was amplified by the trapped emotion already stuck inside her. Part of her body, where the energy of this emotion was lodged, was already functioning as best it could, immersed for nearly 40 years in the sadness of JFK's death. When she got the news of John Kennedy Jr.'s death, her entire body fell into resonance with the emotion that was trapped. The result was that instead of crying a little and moving on, Sarah cried for days, and the pain of that day in November 1963 came back to her full force. In fact, that pain had never really left her at all. In a literal and fascinating way, part of her body had never stopped feeling that deep sadness. This is a perfect example of how a trapped emotion can persist for many years and cause you to experience similar emotions in an exaggerated way. When trapped emotions are never released, you may feel that pain and heightened response for the rest of your life. It's so unnecessary because your trapped emotions can easily be gotten rid of. The rest of the story. Before I released her sadness, I decided to ask where this emotion had been residing in her body for almost 4 decades. What tissues in her body had been laboring within the sphere of this deep sadness all those years? What was the effect upon those tissues? The subconscious mind knows these answers full well, and finding out is as easy as asking. The answer shocked both of us. Muscle testing showed that the trapped emotion of sadness was lodged in the area of her left breast. Sarah and I stared at each other for a moment in wonder. She was a survivor of breast cancer. 4 years before, her left breast had been removed in a surgical mastectomy. This trapped emotional energy had become lodged in her left breast, where it remained. Why her left breast and not some other area of the body? Perhaps she had a greater vulnerability in her left breast due to a low-grade infection, a prior injury, or some other imbalance. My own feeling is that it became trapped in these tissues that lay so close to her heart because of her love for President John F. Kennedy. Whatever the reason for its location, the trapped emotion stayed in her body as the years went by. It caused a constant low-level irritation in her tissues, and this may have been a contributing factor to the cancer. The signs were not recognized soon enough, and ultimately her left breast had to be removed to save her life. But the sadness remained. Releasing that trapped sadness from her body helped her to heal emotionally. I only wish I could have discovered it years earlier, which might have helped her avoid a lot of pain and suffering, and might have even helped her avoid breast cancer. The physical effects of trapped emotions. Tissues that are continually being distorted by a trapped emotion will eventually suffer the effects of it. If you take a magnet and hold it close to an older tube-type television screen or a computer monitor, you will see a very visible distortion of the picture. This is because the magnetic field is interfering with the normal flow of electrons within the screen. If you get the magnet too close, or if you leave the magnet there long enough, it will create a permanent distortion and even ruin the screen. Trapped emotions affect the body in a similar way. After all, the body is energy, and so are trapped emotions. But trapped emotions are a negative energy and distort the body's tissues just as the magnet distorts the picture on the TV screen. Distort the body tissues long term, and pain and malfunction will be the result. This is why the release of a trapped emotion will often cause immediate relief of discomfort and other symptoms, and possibly the reversal of some diseases. I think that this is very fertile ground for further research, which could yield profound insight into the disease process. It is my experience that trapped emotions can exert an astonishing influence over the tissues of the body. What happens when those tissues are continually irritated over time? The first symptom is often pain or subtle malfunction, which can be difficult to detect. If tissues are irritated over a long period of time, the tissues may eventually enter into a state of metaplasia or change. In other words, the specific type of cell begins to revert back to a more primitive cell. The next step is malignancy or cancer. While there are a variety of things that are thought to cause cancer, I believe firmly that trapped emotions are a contributing factor to the disease process, as I believe they are to many, if not most, other diseases. Every cancer patient I treated was found to have trapped emotions embedded in the malignant tissues. It is possible that some of these energies may have been attracted to the area precisely because the tissues were in a severe state of imbalance. While this is possible, and even likely as the disease progresses, trapped emotions are, in my opinion, an underlying cause of cancer. It is vital that these trapped emotions be removed. Even though they may have already contributed to the cancer, Once removed, they cannot cause any further damage in the years to come. Rochelle's lung cancer. When Rochelle first came to me for treatment, she had a cancer the size of a baseball in her lung. She was going through chemotherapy when we met. I asked her body if there were trapped emotions in this malignant lung tissue, and the response was yes. The trapped emotions in Rochelle's tumor dated back many years to a time when she was a young woman. She is Filipino and had married an American sailor stationed in the Philippines. After they had a child together, Rochelle's husband was away at sea for 6 months or more at a time. She had expected his frequent absences and had come to terms with the separation in her conscious mind, but raising a child by herself was difficult and lonely. Consciously, Rochelle believed she was fine with his absence, but her body revealed that the emotions of resentment, frustration, and abandonment had become trapped inside of her during this period. "No, no," Rochelle insisted. "I never felt that way. I knew Danny would be gone, and it was fine with me. I was okay on my own." And yet, after I'd run the magnet down her back, Rochelle sat up and shook her head. "You know, it's the funniest thing," she said. "I feel so much lighter, like a weight has been lifted from my chest." Since she had to drive 90 minutes each way to my clinic, I only saw Rochelle 3 times, but it was enough for me to release all the trapped emotions that showed up in the area of her tumor. About 5 weeks later, she showed up at my office ecstatic over the good news. Her doctors had taken a new x-ray and the tumor was completely gone from her lung. Could the trapped emotions have been a significant contributing factor in the creation of this cancer? I believe that the answer is yes. Of course, I can't prove that the release of the trapped emotions eliminated the tumor, since Rochelle was also undergoing chemotherapy. But by removing the emotions that were lodged in her chest, we may have made the chemotherapy more effective, and their removal may have given her body the edge it needed to heal. I hope to live long enough to see a day when all patients will be treated with the best of all methods like this. Jean's painful ovary. One of the things about trapped emotions that surprised me the most was their ability to cause physical pain. The very first experience that I had with this phenomenon was quite dramatic. My wife Jean suddenly began experiencing acute and severe pain in her left lower abdomen. Muscle testing showed that the pain was coming from her left ovary and that the cause was emotional. As rapidly as I could, I began to identify the emotion responsible. To my surprise, I ended up finding not one, but 6 different emotions. As you will learn later on, we release trapped emotions 1 at a time. Sometimes, more than one trapped emotion will be found nested in the same area, such as in this case. With the exception of the last emotion, all of them had to do with tragic or upsetting events that had occurred in the lives of women that were close to Jean. I released each trapped emotion as it was identified. Amazingly, her pain level decreased instantly and noticeably with each trapped emotion that I released. After clearing 5 trapped emotions, her pain level was a fraction of what it had been only moments before. Her body indicated that there was 1 more trapped emotion. Testing quickly revealed that an emotion of feeling worthless had become trapped when Jean was in kindergarten. The year was 1960. It was an election year, and the contest was between Richard M. Nixon and John F. Kennedy. Jean's teacher informed her that a boy and a girl from the school had been chosen to be interviewed by the local newspaper about the upcoming presidential election and that she was one of those chosen. She was told that she would be asked some questions about the candidates, particularly who she would vote for if she could. She was excited, and the big day soon came. She was ushered into a room at the school that had been prepared for the interview. There were 2 chairs set up right in front, 1 for each child. The interviewer began asking questions of the little boy first, while flash bulbs popped as his picture was taken. Although her picture was taken, for some reason, no questions were asked of Jean at all. She was ignored almost completely, with the exception of being told how to pose for the photo. Suddenly, the interview was over. As she was being ushered back to her classroom, she felt confused. Gradually, it began to dawn on her how unimportant she must be. She began to feel worthless, and she felt the emotion strongly enough that it became trapped in her physical body. Emotions are energy, and the specific vibration of an emotion determines precisely which emotion it is. A trapped emotion is like a little ball of energy which will always land or become lodged somewhere in the physical body. For some reason, this trapped emotion of worthlessness lodged in Jean's left ovary, where it remained for 30 years. When we released this last trapped emotion, the remnants of her pain were instantaneously gone. She got up off the floor, and we looked at each other in mutual amazement at what we had just experienced. Jean has never had a recurrence of pain in that area. I can't help but wonder what the consequences to her health might have been if we had not released those energies from her ovary. Jack's tennis elbow. Another example of how trapped emotions can cause physical pain came from a patient of mine named Jack. He was 42 years old when he came to me for treatment of his excruciating tennis elbow, which he'd been suffering from for months. The discomfort in his right forearm had become so great that he could no longer even turn the key to start his car without terrible pain. I began treating him with the traditional chiropractic approach of spinal and extremity adjustments and physical therapy. After working on him for about a week, I didn't see much improvement, and that surprised me. Tennis elbow is an ailment that is normally treated very successfully with chiropractic care. I was frustrated with Jack's lack of improvement. This was in the early days of my work with trapped emotions, and I hadn't yet thought to ask his subconscious if emotions had anything to do with his problem. I was just beginning to understand how powerful trapped emotions can be, and how they can cause many different kinds of symptoms. I knew they could cause physical pain, but I also knew that tennis elbow was an inflammatory condition that I had treated successfully before. However, since I was having no results with the traditional approach, I decided to ask Jack's subconscious if trapped emotions were an underlying cause of his tennis elbow. I was a bit surprised when his body answered yes. High school girls. Using the emotion code, we identified the first emotion. According to his body, the trapped emotion was inferiority. It had become trapped in his body during high school and had to do with a certain girl he'd liked. I released it, and Jack was surprised by the immediate effect this had on his arm. Suddenly, his elbow pain had decreased noticeably. I asked again if there were any trapped emotions that we could release. His body answered yes, so I began asking what the next emotion was, when it had become trapped, and if it had to do with anyone in particular. This trapped emotion was also from Jack's high school days, and was the result of a less than satisfactory relationship with a different girl this time. The trapped emotion was nervousness. When we released it, Jack's elbow pain lessened even more significantly. We continued this process until we had removed a total of 5 trapped emotions. They were all from high school, and each emotion involved a different girl. His wife, who was there with him during his treatment, seemed amused. As we released each trapped emotion, the discomfort level in Jack's forearm noticeably decreased. The moment we released the last emotion, his pain was completely gone. He turned his arm this way and that. He imitated turning the key in his car. There was no pain whatsoever. He had suddenly regained his full range of motion in his elbow joint, and I could reproduce no pain by pressing my fingers into the muscles of his forearm, which previously had been very painful to the touch. This result was astounding to all of us that were witness to it. Jack was a tennis player during high school, but hadn't picked up a racket in years. Trapped emotions tend to gravitate toward weaker areas of the body where there is extra stress, an injury or an infection, or some other imbalance. All of these particular trapped emotions lodged in the tissues of Jack's forearm. I believe this is because during high school, his forearm was being repeatedly stressed and even injured to a degree. At the same time, he was experiencing emotional distress and picking up trapped emotions from his failing attempts at romance. Remember that a trapped emotion will always land somewhere, likely at the weakest link in the body's chain. I still think if I hadn't been there and seen it for myself, I wouldn't believe it. Within a matter of a few minutes, Jack's pain went from crippling to non-existent. I was once again amazed that emotions could somehow directly cause such dramatic physical pain. Nevertheless, I had just seen it with my own eyes. As I continued to use the emotion code on my patients, I was amazed by how many conditions were actually being caused in whole or in part by trapped emotions, and by how destructive they were to my patients' health. Powerful healing occurs when trapped emotions are finally released. Who knows how much pain, unhappiness, and chronic illness could be completely avoided by eliminating trapped emotions. I quickly learned that some of the feelings trapped within my patients' bodies had been there for much longer than I would have thought possible. It made me sad to think that at some level, these patients had been suffering constantly for all those years from something that is so easy to get rid of. Phobias. A phobia is defined as an irrational, persistent fear of certain activities, persons, objects, or situations. I have found that trapped emotions are a significant cause of phobias, perhaps the only cause. The subconscious mind knows what the underlying cause of the phobia is, and each phobia has one or more trapped emotions that are the cause. The airplane picture phobia. It is possible to have a phobia about literally anything. For example, I once treated a woman who had a rather odd phobia. She could not look upon a picture of an aircraft in a magazine or see one on television without having a severe panic attack. If a jet flew overhead, she had to keep her eyes on the ground. If she looked up at the plane, she would have an attack. I asked her subconscious mind through muscle testing if there was a trapped emotion that was creating her phobia. The answer was yes. Through further testing, I was able to determine what had happened. A number of years earlier, she had been reading a magazine article about the crash of a passenger jet. The article was accompanied by a photograph of the jet taken just before impact. As she read the article, she was overcome with emotion. She identified strongly with the terrified passengers, and a trapped emotion was created. I released the emotion, and the phobia was instantly gone. She was able to look at airplanes, both in photographs and in the sky, immediately without any trouble, and her phobia did not return. Night terrors. In another case, a 42-year-old patient named Carol had suffered from night terrors nearly all her life. Her screams of terror would awaken her husband and children at least 3 nights every week. Night terrors differ from nightmares in that they don't seem to be caused by a specific dream. Instead, a specific and very frightening emotion is felt while the victim is asleep. Her night terrors had been a major problem for most of her life. She had broken both collarbones, multiple ribs, and had even sustained a skull fracture due to her flailing attempts to escape her terrorizing dream state. Her subconscious mind responded affirmatively to my simple question, "Is there a trapped emotion that is causing your night terrors?" A little further testing revealed that emotions of panic, terror, and fear had become trapped in her body when she was 5 years old, during a short period when she was experiencing a recurring nightmare. The nightmare was long since gone, but the trapped emotions remained. The result of releasing these trapped emotions was that within 1 week, the night terrors were gone for good and did not return. Can you afford to keep them? I believe that removing trapped emotions is vital to your quality of life. Removing them may prevent many different problems from eventually occurring. Hopefully, you are beginning to understand how releasing your trapped emotions can give you relief from mental and physical symptoms you may be suffering from now. By releasing your trapped emotions, you will be removing the unwanted negative energy clouds that are hampering the normal function of your tissues, and you will be helping to reestablish the free flow of energy, thus helping your body to heal itself. Your mind will return to a more natural state as well, without the drama, pain, and weight of your old emotions blocking you from progressing in your life. Next, I will share some amazing secrets that ancient physicians knew about the human energy field that have just recently been rediscovered.